You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, the Mets lost their game against the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday night to move this series to an even split as we enter the rubber match game this afternoon with Marcus Stroman on the mound. I'm going to talk about all of that, talk about how the Mets lost that game, talk about more injuries, and why the Mets really need to make a trade. We're going to go through all of that in the final two segments today. In the second segment, we'll talk about the pitching. In the third segment, talking about the Mets hitting, trying to go up against a left-handed starter in Wade Miley, and how they continue to struggle in those games. But to lead things off today, I want to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks, who just ended a 50-year championship drought, and just to see the wave of emotion for that fan base, it really makes you think what could happen if the Mets were to win a World Series, and why they have to make sure they at least get into the dance in October, because once you're there, anything can happen. Going to explain how this really relates to this team in just a minute. But first, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks win their first title in 50 years since 1971. Giannis Antetokounmpo wins his first title, wins the finals MVP. You see 65,000+ people gathering to watch that game outside of the arena. An entire city just on fire right now with Bucks basketball. And to think all of the different things that had to happen for that city to feel that emotion, for that team to win that title. I don't know if you're a big basketball fan, but in the first round, the Milwaukee Bucks swept the Miami Heat. But then in round two, that Bucks team did not look like your bona fide championship. You know, this is the runaway favorite to win it all. They had the best player, but things did not work out like that. In round two, they played the Brooklyn Nets. If not for injuries to James Harden and Kyrie Irving, who knows what happens in that series. Also, Kevin Durant hits a shot where if his shoes were one size smaller, the Nets might win that series. So it all comes down to a game of inches in sports, and we saw that in round two of the NBA playoffs. Then in round three, or in the conference finals, Trae Young gets hurt, and that really changed that series. The Bucks might have lost to the Hawks, which would have been a massive upset. You look up in the NBA finals, they're down 2-0 to the Suns. It looks like they have no chance. Chris Paul's going to run away and win his first NBA title. And then suddenly, the Bucks get hot. They win four straight games. Giannis proves he's the best player in the league right now. And all of a sudden, they have a championship. There's no asterisks. There's all of these different fans who have just had the greatest experience when it comes to their lives as sports fans. And they're just going to live off of this for some time. And it makes you think what that can mean for the Mets. And when it comes to baseball, in 2019, the Washington Nationals were a team that proved that anything can happen if you get to October. The Nationals were trailing 3-1 in a wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers with Josh Hader, one of the nastiest relievers in baseball, on the mound trying to get a two-inning save. In that eighth inning, he hits Michael Taylor with a pitch where it looked like it actually hit off the knob of his bat, but replay review wasn't conclusive enough to overturn it. So he's on base. Ryan Zimmerman gets a hit. Anthony Rendon draws a walk. The bases are loaded. Juan Soto comes up. While it may go down in history as just a great RBI hit that drove in three runs, if you watch the play back, the Nationals caught a huge break as Trent Grisham was out in right field instead of Christian Yelich. Yelich had been carrying that team all the way through September. That's why they're able to edge out the Mets in the wild card race, because Milwaukee was the hottest team in baseball. Yelich gets hurt in that final week leading into the playoffs. So Trent Grisham's out there, and he just makes a horrible play, lets the ball go under his glove, all three runs score. The Nationals end up stealing one. They move on to the NLDS. They play the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are a way better team than them, had won 13 more games in the regular season, yet it's a five-game series. Anything can happen in baseball. The Nationals get great pitching. They win that series in five games. On the other side of things, it was the Braves and the Cardinals in the NLDS, and the Braves just completely choke away that series in game five. They gave up 10 runs in the first inning. The Cardinals are nowhere near as good of a team as the Braves, so that leaves a pretty easy path for the Nationals. They end up sweeping the Cardinals, go on to the World Series, and they face a Houston Astros team that is very good, and it's a great series, and they're remembered as just a very good championship team with the pitching of Max Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin and guys like Anthony Rendon, who parlayed that into a massive contract and a huge star turn for Juan Soto and Trey Turner. And no one looks back at that team and says, well, really, they weren't that great if you kind of dive deep into the numbers or look at what they did in certain stretches of a regular season. And the reason why I'm bringing all this up with these two championship teams is because the Mets could certainly become a championship team if they make the playoffs. We've talked about it all year long with the Mets pitching. Who knows what happens when they get there? They just have to get there. And right now, considering where this team is and the fact that we've seen Anthony Banda and Robert Stock and Jeff Hartlieb and all these guys come out of nowhere to have to pitch for the Mets right now, this is a team that needs to make a trade, not just for the upside play, but because they need major league talent on the roster right now to survive what is going to be a really brutal stretch of their season without Francisco Lindor, with Jacob deGrom, with this mysterious injury, and everything else that is taking place as Jose Peraza breaks a finger. And they just need capable bodies. And I think about the Bucks and all the different storylines that unfolded over this last month. And now that you get to the conclusion, none of it matters. None of it. They're champions. And to be a champion, you first have to be a playoff team. And I think the Mets have such an easy path when it comes to their division. They can't let this slip away. And I don't fault them for losing a game on a Tuesday night with Robert Stock and Steven Nogasek and all these random recent call-ups having to pitch, but it's still another game in the loss column that could have been one in the win column had you had a better roster. And that's why the Mets have to start to make trades and ahead of the deadline. It's time to make a deal now, and that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show today. In the next segment, going to dive into the pitching in this game on Tuesday and what they can do from here to try to make things a little bit better and to try to clear this roster out of all of these 4A Syracuse Mets type pitchers that have been taking the ball over the last couple of days. But do you love to order fish when you go out to eat, but you never make it for yourself at home? Cooking restaurant quality dishes at home starts with high quality seafood and simple techniques, which can be found from Wild Alaskan Seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced wild-caught seafood right to your door. Each shipment contains premium, wild-cut, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership at any time, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. Make sure you use that URL to let them know that we sent you. Since Taijuan Walker exited the game on Sunday after recording just one out, the Mets have had to cobble together 20 2/3 innings with just a complete laundry list of arms as they try to patch things together. You could say they had a few starters with Jared Eichhoff and Robert Stock, but basically these have all been bullpen games, and the fact that the Mets won two of those games is really impressive, but it does not excuse the fact that Jared Eichhoff, Robert Stock, Anthony Banda, Jeff Hartlieb, and Steven Nogasek have pitched 10 1/3 innings over the last two games here. That is crazy. The fact that you're in the middle of a playoff race and it's that collection of names that have been used, that shows you that something has to give. I know the Mets don't want to make a bad trade. They do not have the leverage in any of these talks right now, and other teams are going to try to take advantage of that. Yet you have to find some type of a package, some type of deal that brings in a major league caliber starter so you can just get by, especially considering the fact that next week you're going to have a 5-game series against the Atlanta Braves. It was supposed to be Anthony Banda and Robert Stock starting those games on Monday. That was the tentative schedule. Robert Stock, after he pitches the first inning, top of the second, trying to run out of ground out, pulls a hammy. So now Stock's out. And Stock was just your next guy that had a live arm that could give you a little bit of length. Now he's off the table. In this game, after Stock goes out, you get Steven Nogasek, who comes in, does a nice job, eats three innings for you, had 5 strikeouts, but he gave up a pair of home runs where the pitches came in right down the middle. You also had Jeff Hartlieb give up a run in this game, although it was an inherited runner that Aaron Loop was not able to strand. You still end up in a situation where you lose a game to the Reds that you could have won. The Mets' offense could have been better in this game as well, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But considering the fact that it was supposed to be Robert Stock and Anthony Banda tentatively scheduled to start in a doubleheader against the Braves on Monday, and now you just lost half of that. Once again, this team is dealt an injury blow, and when you are sitting here pining for a Robert Stock and lamenting an injured hammy as a pitcher ran out of ground out, especially that pitcher, it just shows you the dire straits the Mets are in right now when it comes to their pitching depth, and that was originally a strength for this team. They have to find some. And for weeks now, I've been talking about Tyler Anderson as a perfect answer to come in. You don't think it'll cost too much. Maybe you have to give up one prospect, a top 30 prospect, maybe because the Pirates might have the leverage. And so you give up someone in your 20 to 30 range that they can be happy with, one of the guys they like. But you get Tyler Anderson, you at least know the guy's going to go out and go through a lineup 2 or 3 times. He has pitched at least 5 innings in every single one of his 17 starts this year. He actually pitched tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks, so he would be in line to start one of those doubleheader games. He gave up 3 runs, but made it through 6 innings. Another quality start, his 7th of the season. He has gone at least 6 innings in 5 of his last 7 starts. He's not going to blow you away, but Tyler Anderson is a guy you trade for right now. He makes your team a lot better, and he really helps you get through this stretch while you're waiting for Carlos Carrasco. You're waiting for Noah Syndergaard. You're waiting for Jacob deGrom. You at least have a major league starter you're putting out there instead of Robert Stock and Jared Eichhoff and Anthony Banda and Jeff Hartlieb or whichever other random pitcher that could possibly pop up on the scene for this team over the next week. There has to be some urgency to get something done before that series against the Braves. The schedule's only going to get harder. These are games that you can't let slip through your fingers. And if you end up playing that series against the Braves and your best solution is Steven Nogasek and Anthony Banda in that doubleheader, and you get swept and then you lose two of the next three, and all of a sudden the Braves have some life again, you're going to really regret it. So this is something the Mets have to take seriously. And I know I am going to sound like a broken record talking about Tyler Anderson time and again and talking about trades every podcast, but that's where we are in this season. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about in the next segment, because Jose Peraza broke a finger and the Mets can't hit left-handed starting pitching. We'll go through what Wade Miley did to them tonight and how they can maybe fix these problems in just a minute. But I want to tell you about the best tasting protein bar ever, which is Built Bar. Did you know there are so many delicious flavors to choose from that there's literally something for everyone? Whether it's the coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry orange, German chocolate, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream. There are so many flavors to choose from. And if you haven't tried them all, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each and you can see what you like. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. They come low in calories, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That is just another feather in their cap. So if you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free long cut pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to, but without the tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Dip has been associated with the game of baseball for as long as I can remember. I've had so many friends who started dipping on the baseball diamond, and then it became a staple of their everyday life. Now I tell them to use Fully Loaded Chew, as it tastes and feels just like the traditional smokeless product, which makes it an easy transition away from those tobacco products. This is the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Mets listeners a special offer. Right now you can try for just $1 a can of Fully Loaded Chew. That's right, just $1 at FullyLoadedChew.com by using the promo code Locked On. You can try a can with free shipping. That's just $1 with the code Locked On at checkout at FullyLoadedChew.com. It seems like at least once a week, the Mets go up against a soft-tossing lefty who just carves them up. And we saw that again on Tuesday as Wade Miley went 6 1/3, had 8 strikeouts, gave up 2 runs, but only one of them earned. Miley has had a really nice season. He is better than some of the other lefties that have come up and just found a way to be really successful against this Mets team. But it is clear that they do not know what it takes to put up a big first couple of innings against these left-handed starters. And I think one of the big problems is they're not playing their best hitters to face lefties, because Dominic Smith was benched tonight. And he is hitting 342 with a 405 on base percentage and a 507 slugging percentage against left-handed pitching this year. He has 6 doubles. He has 2 home runs. He's only gotten 73 at-bats against lefties. You look at what he's done against righties. Well, he's hitting 224, so well over 100 points lower. The on-base percentage is at 296. The slugging percentage is at 363. Smith was benched for Kevin Pillar, who's hitting 220 this year against lefties with a 246 on-base percentage and a 373 slugging percentage. Outside of which one's the lefty, which one's the righty, where does it make any sense to start Pillar over Dominic Smith. Especially when Michael Conforto's in the lineup as well, and this year he's hitting 157 against lefties with a 338 on base percentage and a 176 slugging percentage. Now, Conforto is turning things around. That's only 51 at-bats. He has looked a lot better over the last couple of games. I would still play him every day, but I would also play Dominic Smith every day, especially against lefties, because he's been raking them this year. And if you look at the whole team, it is only Alonso, Dominic Smith, and James McCann that have an OPS over 900 against lefties this season. Jonathan Villar, Brandon Nimmo, and Luis Guillorme are more in the middle, but still good with OPSs over 700. And then everyone else has an OPS under 700 against lefties, which makes a lot of sense considering their lack of collective success when they are going up against southpaws. Now, all of this could be fixed with one player. Chris Bryant is the name you're all thinking I'm going to say. Sure, he's still out there. Sure, you like Trevor Story or Javi Baez. But how about you shop in the bargain bin and you just trade for Eduardo Escobar? It could be that simple for this Mets team. Eduardo Escobar is having a really nice season. He has 22 home runs and 65 RBIs. His WRC plus is 109, which is his weighted runs created plus, which is based on a league average of 100. So he's been slightly above average this season. You take that power, though, and against lefties, this switch hitter has 7 home runs this season and 2 doubles and 86 at-bats. He's hitting 267 with a 315 on-base percentage and a 535 slugging percentage. Eduardo Escobar would be leading the Mets at home runs right now if the Mets were to make a trade to acquire him. And not only does he bring pop, he brings a good glove. He's in the 94th percentile and outs above average this year. Grades out as a positive defender at third base and at second base. He's a rental, owed $7.5 million this season, last year of his deal. He was almost traded to the White Sox a couple of days ago, but that deal fell through. So he's on the block. This is the type of guy you could acquire that could be this year's version of your Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, but with more upside. So I look at Eduardo Escobar and I say, it's not going to cost a ton to get him, and you could acquire him maybe before the deadline where a team like the Diamondbacks would be motivated to make sure they got a deal done, as opposed to the Cubs, who can always fall back on a qualifying offer for Chris Bryant or Javi Baez and think maybe they'll come to terms on an extension at the end of the season. So there's always that little bit of leverage they have. Eduardo Escobar, he's in his 30s. He's not part of the Diamondbacks' long-term plans. You acquire him. You acquire Tyler Anderson. You get all of that done before you face the Braves. And now I think the Mets have a much better chance to not only compete in that series, but really try to create that separation that they've been lacking in the division standings now for the past week or two as other teams have started to catch up. It's time to make a move, and I understand you want it to be the right one. You want to make sure that you make the trade that can make you a World Series contender. But to me, just make sure that some trade is made early enough that you don't lose out on your great chance to be a playoff team. Because you cannot continue to hold this thing together with scotch tape and expect that that'll last you through an entire 162-game season. The cream will rise to the top, and I don't think Robert Stock and Anthony Banda are big contributors to a playoff team or even, hopefully, a team capable of being more than that. Anyway, the Mets have one more game against the Reds in this series with Marcus Stroman on the mound in a rubber match. If you would have told me on Monday morning, that would be the scenario I think most Mets fans and the team would have taken it. So we'll see if they can end up capping this series off before that off day. And then, of course, keep our eyes peeled on the trade market and hope that the Mets start to get a little bit more aggressive. But anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter @FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you're interested in betting on Major League Baseball, this does not have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, which is hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.